You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My guest at this time, as he always is on Thursday, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, thanks as always for your time.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, many people in Washington, especially the mainstream press corps, celebrating the first 100 days of the Obama presidency, the president himself celebrating it with a town hall meeting in Missouri and then a primetime press conference on Wednesday evening. Real quickly, your report card on the first 100 days.
I give him a D+, in the sense that he has been a great communicator, but at the same time, I lower what could have been a higher grade because Barack Obama is very clearly following Mark Twain's admonition. You can fool some of the people, some of the time, and enough to be successful. And this is a president who spoke, as he did at the news conference, about bipartisanship, and yet in terms of his budget and stimulus package, has only been able to attract 3 Republican senators and 0 Republican House members. He definitely is someone with a liberal agenda. He talked last night at his news conference about government not wanting to own the auto industry, and yet that's precisely what it does right now, and he never really voiced an exit strategy for getting out of it. Overall, this has been the same old statist spending politics that we have seen of late in the Democratic Party that Bill Clinton entirely abjured even reference to. And in so doing, Barack Obama represents some old solutions to new and complex problems. For that reason, I say D+.
John, a lot of people talking today about the kid gloves Obama got in terms of treatment from the White House press corps, giggling a lot of his statements, not asking a ton of tough questions. What do you make of how the press corps has performed over the past 100 days?
There's a term for it that I knew from intramurals back in high school in Connecticut, slow pitch softball. That's what I felt sitting there in the East Room last night. The predictable questions, there was one from AP's Jennifer Lovin about the swine flu. There were follow-up questions about torture and interrogation, permitting him to give a little soapbox speech about why waterboarding was torture, in his view, and to throw a few whacks at the previous administration, something Barack Obama does quite often. And then from there, the economy, Iraq, Pakistan, and finally, the question reaching new lows of banality about what enchanted him most about being president. And that allowed him to write a few notes and look spontaneous. I have to say, as one who has loved the presidential press conference and is quite proud of being a White House Correspondents Association, neither my colleagues nor the institution of the press conference itself gained much last night.
John, the president got perhaps his biggest gift of the first 100 days on day 99, and that was the defection of Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party. He's been in the Senate nearly 30 years, all as a Republican, until this week. He was pretty upfront in saying one of the main reasons he did it is because he couldn't win a Republican primary in his state. He also says he's more in line with the Democrats now. What do you see as the impact of this, and will he win re-election?
Well, I tend to believe former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer, who said that Specter put power above principle. Only 2 weeks ago, Arlen Specter was telling his fellow Pennsylvania Republicans that he had to run again and win because he was the only thing standing between them and a filibuster-proof Senate. Now he said that he can't win a primary and pretty much admitted that politics led him to switch and fight. Contrast this, as Ari Fleischer did, with the position of Joe Lieberman, who stayed in the Democratic Party even when he was pilloried on his pro-Iraq war position and until he lost the Democratic primary to an anti-war candidate. Only then did he become an independent and win. I think that's pretty clear. Will Specter win re-election again? Overnight is an eternity in politics, as James Baker once said. There's 10 months to the filing deadline. Things look pretty good for conservative Pat Toomey, who almost beat Arlen Specter 6 years ago and is headed to do so again. But others can get into the race right now. And last time I checked, there were 2 other Democrats running for the nomination already before Arlen Specter joined them. the picture is very unclear at this point. As they say in the movie serials, to be continued.
John, another big story this week, the government's response to the outbreak of the swine flu. Some say this is perhaps the worst outbreak of anything since the flu in 1918 that ravaged Europe. Others say this is the biggest case of government-led hysteria we've seen in decades. What do you say?
I think it's more the latter than the former, Greg. And again, there have been just over 100 deaths caused by this in Mexico. And then in this country, there have been a number of people, not even approaching 100 yet, who've been sent to bed and ill. This is not an epidemic, one that would eventually lead, as the 1918 epidemic, or pandemic, I should say, to the deaths of 5 million people worldwide. This is an isolated illness that can be solved through quarantining. I think the president went a little bit far last night when he said that it's already come into the United States, so closing off the border with Mexico would not help. And then, if it was so bad, why did he recommend only cover your mouth when you cough, stay home from work when you're not feeling well, and don't travel when you're ill?
And don't forget to wash your hands, John. Real quickly, last 30 to 45 seconds here. You always follow and bring us up to date on some of the most important foreign developments. What's the latest in Pakistan?
Well, the latest in Pakistan, and this is something President Obama alluded to, is something that I heard from some correspondents from India during the recent International Monetary Fund World Bank meeting here. Namely, the civilian government in Pakistan is not exactly in fighting trim. And with the Taliban perhaps closer than ever to the nuclear arsenal, the army is finally taking matters into its hands and pursuing the Taliban. At Bunar, for example, a place where the Taliban runs almost a separate government with the Muslim Sharia law, armed forces were in hot pursuit of the Taliban, who have lived the life of terror and spread it throughout that country. Now again, the critical comments President Obama made about the government of Pakistan, as well as the fact the army seems to be operating on its own, leads me to believe there may be yet another military coup in Pakistan, the end of a democracy, and a government by a general, General Khilani, the equivalent of their chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Time will tell.
John, we'll keep track of it, as I know you will. Thanks as always for your time.
As developments never grow dull, and I'm still a member of the White House Correspondents Association, for now, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.